Good afternoon, everybody out there listening in Internet Radio Land. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, The Church of the Soul's Evolution. I hope you're having a good day today. I am. And I was watching the Olympics. I don't know if you've been watching the Olympics. And I was just reading, actually, before the show a few minutes ago about the ice skating, the dance, the free dance with Chalk and Bates, I think their names are, the U.S. couple. And I suspected it all during the day. I've been watching these different events. And in my opinion, there's a lot of bias towards Americans going on. Americans typically have won more gold medals at the Olympics, I think in the recent years, if I'm not mistaken. But I heard about the dance with the couple from France. And I saw part of it, I think, not the whole thing. And when a couple makes some minor errors that people are able to see, most people are able to see, and then another couple does a dance and they're the reigning world champions and they don't make any mistakes, how could they give the win, the gold medal, to a couple that made some visible errors and everybody noticed them? You know, it's bias, in my opinion. And so that it is. So judging goes, you know, I've noticed that with other things as well, like the Toastmasters and the speech contest. It's supposed to be objective when you're grading a speaker, but unfortunately, the bias creeps in there and it becomes more subjective than objective. And so I think the suggestion was that they should have very careful vetting of the judges and go over and over the rules and the procedures being a judge, you know, and not to let personal bias rule their thinking, so to speak. And I guess it can go both ways, but when you've got so many people, hundreds and possibly thousands of people that notice the same things. And for example, there was this one Italian judge by the name of Jezebel. What a name, right? Jezebel. And I guess she had a history of being a judge before and not giving a good score to Chalk and Bates, even though they're the world champions. And she gave a higher score to an Italian couple when it really wasn't warranted, so to speak. But what can you do? You know, you just do your best and then let the chips fall where they may. But that's the nature of competition. There's something wrong with it, inherently wrong with it. Also, I saw Ilya, the men's figure skater, you know, the quad god. He had a lot on his shoulders. He's only 21 years old. And something's wrong with competition when it comes down to the last guy, and then you've got people on the sidelines who just perform their dance and they're waiting. Hey, okay, how do you know? Hold on, please. I've got to get the dog out the backyard because he's going to start barking. Oh, so my wife let the dog out the backyard. He hasn't started barking yet. He might not. Hey, no, go inside. And anyway, so it's a distraction, but I'll deal with it. Anyway, competition. Like I was saying, you've got, like when Ilya did his dancing routine, just as an example, and he fell down a couple of times and he didn't do his quad flips. People, the competition is there on the sidelines. And they're all going, yeah, you know, cheering him on to maybe not visibly, but in their minds. And I've been there myself. I know what it's like when you're hoping the other person makes a mistake so you can win. Is that right? I mean, isn't there something wrong with that? That is the nature of competition, my friends. It's good in a way. It can help us grow. But ultimately, there's something better than that. That's not the way we should be living our lives in competition. Or at least there's probably Physical competition is good. Well, let me rephrase that. Mental competition is better, even still, though, it's competition. But mental competition, like chess, for example, I think is better. Hold on, just a minute. Okay, I let the dog back in. And chess is a good game, but there's other pursuits that we can be engaged in, intellectual pursuits, getting ready for contact with the extraterrestrials that we know are out there. And some people, they just can't handle the truth. And some people, they just won't let their light shine any brighter, I mean, that's the goal of being here, to increase the light of our soul. Some people are stuck in their evolution where they can't evolve anymore. And one of the reasons is because they belong to a group and they have to conform or else they'll be ostracized and criticized. They can't say things that are outside the conformity, or otherwise, like I said, they'll be singled out and ostracized and ridiculed. Never mind the truth. What is the truth? I'm a truth seeker. How about you? Are you a truth seeker? I've learned a lot over the years, and I'm come to the conclusion that some people can be trusted with telling the truth, especially in regard to life elsewhere in the universe, and people who have had near-death experiences as well. And they come back and it changes their lives. The same with the people who have been abducted by extraterrestrials or have had contact with them. It changes their lives, and that is evidence that we can't ignore. One thing that's important to realize is that Earth, this planet, and we're living 2,000 years plus after Jesus walked this earth, around 5,000 years after Moses. You have to look at the evidence and use your logic. The pyramids were created all those years ago. That's one good example right there. 50-ton blocks at least 600 feet high in the air. It would have been impossible to create with just logs and ropes and manpower. You have to understand that. I mean, deep down in your soul, know that it would have been impossible to have done that with manpower, with just humans lifting those 50-ton blocks, right? With just ropes and logs. Logic will set us free. That logic is irrefutable, yet people ignore that evidence because they want to believe what they want to believe. The truth is that those extraterrestrials, the extraterrestrials, created those pyramids with anti-gravity electromagnetic technology, along with the people living in that era, in that age. They had contact with them and they shared the technology. They did things together because they had no fear. I mean, they didn't fear each other. Nowadays, we've got quite an impressive assortment of weapons that we could use to fire at extraterrestrials, and it may or may not hurt them or destroy them. But why would you want to make contact with someone when they're trying to kill you? They're firing weaponry at you. That doesn't make sense, right? That's why they're not making contact with us right now. Have you seen the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still? Well, case in point, for that movie, if a spaceship landed near the White House, in the by the Washington Monument, for example, the Washington Mall, I think they call it, the first thing that would happen would be surrounded. It would be surrounded by tanks and artillery and police and soldiers with their weapons drawn, and all it takes is one itchy finger to shoot somebody when all they're doing is trying to make contact. I mean, that would be dumb on their behalf, wouldn't it? Knowing the nature of the human mentality and the military mentality. And so it is. And logic indeed can set us free. Consider all the life here, and I've said this before, on Earth. If it happened by accident, logically, it could happen by accident elsewhere. So we really don't need E.T. to land in our backyard so we can look him in the eye and shake his hand and try to talk with him, her, right? We can work this out in our minds. Bridge the gap between belief and knowledge. And say, you know, you don't believe that they're out there. You know that they're out there. And personally, I would like to make contact with extraterrestrials before I die. And I don't have too many more years left. I've got more years behind me than I do in front of me. But we're stuck in our evolution right now, which is not uncommon. It's happened before in the past with Columbus. I've said this before. People thought the world was flat at one time. People thought the world was at the center of the universe and everything revolved around our planet. And now we're at that point where we don't know if there's life out there for sure, let alone sentient life, other beings from other planets. Let me say again what I've said before. In the beginning, there was darkness and silence before the physical universe began creating itself, one solar system after another, and one galaxy after another. In that darkness and silence, nothing existed except for the creator of the universe, an electrical kind of being, if you will, energy field, an enormous energy field that looks like the aurora borealis with all the colors of the rainbow that moves around the universe. It's changing size and shape and with a being inside this electrical energetic field that looks like the aurora borealis. And the creator, before the physical universe was created, decided that there was a plan that he, she had, because I believe the creator is both male and female. It's not a he. I mean, it's not a he or a she. It's a he and a she. It's not an it. It's a he or she. You've got the male and female qualities in the creator of the universe. And the creator, at some point in time, you know, because there was no beginning for the creator, it has always existed. That's hard for us to comprehend, but then the creator will continue to exist for eternity, and that also is hard to grasp the understanding of. And the best way I can describe it is that the creator decided at some point in time, so to speak, that he, she wanted to expand and grow itself to fulfill its spiritual need, let's say. And so that plan was put into effect, utilizing the four forces of the universe, which are, number one, the force that created all the suns, planets, and moons. The second force, the force that created all the plant and animal life. The third force that created all the different sentient beings out there. And there are many. Don't get me wrong, there are many. Don't make any mistakes in your thinking, my friends. There are thousands and thousands and thousands, which is easier to understand, right? Of beings just like us. Different variations of human being, types with gray skin, tan skin, blue skin, green skin, different eyes, different heights, different shapes, sizes, different levels of evolution, some that have existed for millions of years longer than the Milky Way galaxy even, before the Milky Way galaxy began to create itself. And the fourth force was the force that created the spirit that we have in us. Also that spark of light from the creator, which lights up the lamp of our soul. And we all have that spark of the divine in our souls, my friends. Peace of the creator in us. And that is the fourth force, the spirit universe, that network of souls connected, and the spirit worlds, which are the suns in the universe. Because we were born on a sun, my friends. We are made of star stuff. We, our spirits, are made of light energy, and that light energy is made of electrons. Electrons are the same stuff as fire. We can exist in fire as a spirit anywhere. The fire of the sun, the fire down below and the lava beds in the middle of the planet where people go who are really bad, who have done bad things, murder, rape, physical abuse, all kinds of abuse. Non-believers, I'm going to take a drink. Then there are different gradations, different variations of darkness going all the way down. So the bad ones, the really bad ones, go to that place called God's jail, otherwise known as hell. Archangel Lucifer is in charge of hell and the demons. It's like Archangel Michael's in charge of the angels. And Archangel Lucifer, otherwise known as the devil, works for God. Make no mistake about that. Just like the Creator made no mistake when he created angels as servants with no ability to rebel at all. Saying that they rebelled is insulting the intelligence of the Creator, saying the Creator did not know what the Creator was doing, could not see into the future, which an omniscient being can do, and would have created a being that would have had the free will to rebel like we have. We have free will, but angels do not. And Archangel Lucifer works for the Mother and Father God. I don't know if, there's one thing I don't know for sure, is that Archangel Michael and Gabriel and Uriel and Lucifer and Raphael, they might just be archangels of this solar system and this sun system, in other words, the spirit world, the world on fire, the fire of God, the very special fire that if you look inside with the eyes of the spirit, you can see a beautiful world there. It looks just like Earth, like the old Polaroid pictures, where the negatives were like planet Earth and the positive, the picture that would develop would be like the spirit world, or in other words, the sun. Again, when you're outside of the physical realm and the five physical senses, then you gravitate, depending on your level of evolution or your spiritual development, to that world 93 million miles away, home of the Mother and Father God, who are co-creator gods and created this solar system like we have the capability to do ourselves, because we are co-creator gods in the making. Also, like they were, going through that process of reincarnation, one life after another, on different planets of evolution throughout the universe. And believe me, my friends, all this information will be available when we get to heaven as spirits, as pure spirits in the spirit world, will have access to heavenly computers. And don't laugh, I'm serious. Everything that we have here on Earth originated first in heaven. And did you know that every second of your life and my life is being recorded by heavenly computers? That's why when we have our life review, that will show everything that happened to us from when we were born all the way through, different scenarios popping up to the left and to the right, interactions we have with people, how they felt about us, emotions, plus. It's like a three-way perspective. You're looking at it, and then also you, who you were back then, maybe 5 years old, somebody punched you in the face, and you felt that, how that person felt, how you felt the pain of being struck in the face, just to use it as an example. And so you see your whole life flash before your eyes, and it goes quickly. You can go through, we can go through a whole lifetime and just, because there is no time when you're in that realm, but it goes by so quickly, from what I've heard and read, that a whole lifetime, even someone maybe 70, 80, 90 years old, it goes by just like that. It flies by. And next thing you know, you're right at the very end of your life, whether it's maybe dying in a burning car wreck, you know, that's just flipped end over end several times, or you've died of old age. You've reached the end. And you've seen your entire life from the very beginning, from when you were born, your mother, how your mother treated you, how your friends treated you, how your family treated you, how your peers treated you, the accidents you had as you were growing up, all the interactions you had with every human being in your life, that will be relived. And in the end, guess who's going to judge you? You. You will judge yourself. I'm going to take a drink. Now, you might have an audience there. Jesus might be there. The mother and father God, angels, deceased relatives, people that you knew. And then you will judge yourself whether you were a success or a failure in this life, whether you graduated with honors from this life, whether you were a kind, loving, decent, family-oriented, generous person who did random acts of kindness, who spoke good things, rarely used vulgar language, helped people when you could, always spoke positive thoughts, didn't do anybody any harm, or at least repented for it. I personally have never struck another person in anger in my life. Not that I can remember. I have been hit a few times, punched in the face a couple of times, but I haven't hit anybody back, not in anger. Anyway, and so all that is taken into consideration, my friends, and whether or not you are suitable to go to the next highest level. Planet Earth is a category one on a scale of 1 to 9 on the evolutionary scale. Category two would be where there's more love, maybe less warfare, maybe no warfare at all, no warfare at all, no killing. Here on Earth, we learn basic social values. We learn to find peace. Usually species in their early evolutionary stages go through the same thing we're going through now. Although I believe there are some old souls, a lot of old souls here on Earth to help the younger souls. This is a very, very difficult school. It's like being in the Army like I was, and then you put in your paperwork to go to the War College or some other kind of school. It's very difficult to pass, or Harvard. You know, you go to that school and you have to work your butt off, so to speak. And then you graduate. Earth is like that. Of all the planets in the universe, especially the lower evolved ones, the category one planets, this is like the hardest school of learning in the universe. So give yourselves a pat on the back, my friends. Because if you've survived up until now, you deserve credit for it. I congratulate you. But there's more to be done, more work to be done to kind of bring our humanity together, to spread that love, to love everybody. I know it's hard. Even someone walking down the street, you drive by them and you might automatically gravitate towards a more negative attitude towards that person without even meeting them or talking to them. We've got to pray for each other. That's what it comes down to. And in order to pray, you have to be a brave and strong person. Simple. Here in the United States, it's supposed to be the home of the brave. So all you Americans out there, you need to notch it up a level and pray for each other, maybe just once a day at the dinner table, for God's sake, you know, or go into your closet and pray, or just go stand in your backyard and pray, look up at the sky, at the stars in the evening sky, and say a prayer to the Creator. The Creator is out there, I guarantee you. That's the truth. I tell you the truth. The Creator of the universe can hear you when you talk to him, her, and Mother and Father God, too, who are co-creator gods in the Most Highest. They went through their cycle of lifetimes. I don't know how many lives it takes. You can have many past lives, you know, before you were born into this world, this planet, which is not our home. Our home is over there, 93 million miles away. That's our home, because we are spirits in the material world. And again, I'll say this so that you internalize it. Spirits can live in fire. And you first of all have to acknowledge that you have a spirit in your body. Of course you do. When you dream at night, your spirit comes out and travels. That's why you have dreams. Those are the eyes of the spirits. The eyes of the spirit that can see the dream. Right? That makes sense. I'll tell you the truth. You have a spirit in your body. So do I. And it's up to us to develop our spirituality. And there's so many things we can do to evolve ourselves and graduate from this existence and get away from that cycle of hurting each other and pain and suffering and graduate to a level two or three, or even perhaps even all the way to a level nine planet, depending on just how good you were, and depending on when you where you came from too, because as I mentioned, we all have past lives. Most of us, I think there's very few young spirits here on Earth, actually. It's such a difficult school of learning because people are vetted, souls are vetted before they come here. And there's a lot of suicide, and people take their own lives because it's just too hard, right? Makes sense. But there are resources that we can access. Prayer is one. Books like the Bible, you know, it's such an extraordinary account of divine intervention like the world's never known before in the past. Or even for other religions, they have their books that they can access. So people from their own faith that can help them through hard times, you know. I've been there myself. I was suicidal at one time. I think we all go through it. It's one of the earlier stages in our physical development as a human being. We go through different stages. And puberty is one, and then shortly after that, you know, we get to like legal age where we can drink or vote or go to war. We can join the army and fight combat missions, if you know what I mean. Be sent to war to fight, in other words. And that's when we're held accountable for our actions. But what age are we really held accountable? I've talked about this before. I submit to you that we're not really accountable for ourselves until our parents have passed away, because we're always under their influence, as well as under the influence of alcohol, God forbid, because I guarantee you, I don't know the stats exactly, but every just about 95 plus percent of the suicides are alcohol related. That's the opinion of the Reverend Blake. You gonna take a drink? Accidents, car accidents, fatalities, a lot of them are alcohol related. Now, I'm not trying to judge you, my friends. I've been there myself, and I suppose that would qualify me to judge people, but I don't want to, because I know that you're co-creator God in the making, and you have free will, and you have to find out for yourself what's right and what's wrong. And sometimes you have to do that and find out, maybe the hard way, hopefully not, that going down that road might not wind up good for you, if you know what I mean. But I've said my piece. You know, I try not to judge people for any reason, because, like the Bible says, if you judge people, you will be judged yourself. But I'm just saying, I grew up as a child of alcoholic parents, and I went through some depressing times. Now we can see my father, even though I know now he's in heaven and he's a spirit and he's happy and joyful and continuing on with his evolution. But as a physical body here on earth with a spirit inside, he had serious PTSD from World War II, being in Normandy and Dunkirk. And he would get drunk. I can remember so many times in my youth where I would watch him sit at the table and he would be in a drunken stupor and swearing, GD this and GD that, and not making any sense. And so I learned good common sense because I heard my father say so many nonsensical things. And mom too, well, she was better than dad, although she had her little bottle of sherry she used to drink from every night and have maybe one or two. When I visited, sometimes she had three or four, and then she would get really tipsy. And but they were, you didn't want to mess around with my parents, because being war babies, growing up right after World War I and thrown into World War II, they had a side to them that was demonic. That's the best way I can put it. If you tried to tell them not to do something like give up drinking, oh, I remember one time my mother, she looked at me and you wouldn't even believe that she was my mother and I was her son. Some of the things that she said to me. But that's the way. You know, I don't personally believe in demonic possession. I think spirits can, the bad spirits that are out there, they can climb inside a body that's drunk. Well, I guess that is demonic possession. So I think it is true. It can happen. Well, I've just changed my mind in regard to that. Although it's not really the way some people would think. Like, for example, The Exorcist, you know, that demon that was inside Linda Blair. I don't think, and in the Bible, it talks about some people who were demon possessed and they had to cast the demons out of, Jesus cast demons out of people. I don't know about that. I think it happens during times when one lets one's guard down, you know, if you get blind drunk, for example, and they're hanging around, you know, they're looking for people who smoke and drink, and then when their guard is down, they can pop in their body. It's kind of like in the movie Ghost, you know, when Whoopi Goldberg let Patrick Swayze get inside her body so that he could see through her eyes and feel through her fingers, you know, they can do that. And I guess that is demonic possession, but not in a way kind of like Linda Blair and The Exorcist. But suffice it to say, there are some bad spirits out there roving around. And if you're doing the right thing, they'll leave you alone. Once you start kind of getting off the track and doing things that you shouldn't be doing, in other words, doing wrong instead of right, not going down that path of righteousness, you'll find out soon enough that they're trying to get you back on track. And they have many methods of doing that, including intimidation and installing fear. And so they're out there, you know, bad spirits. And then there are ghosts, the ones who have died suddenly and violently. Even children. I was watching on TV today, Ghost Adventures, and they went to this orphanage where supposedly 10,000 children died. Over the years, or all at once, I forget. I don't remember them saying, but they went inside and they had all their equipment and they heard a girl singing upstairs. They had it recorded on their pretty cool technology, how they're able to detect different things with infrared and other sources of, you know, determining when a spirit is in a room, you know, a motion sensor kind of thing, and other technology as well. And they heard a little girl singing. So imagine that, even like maybe a few hundred years ago, they're in like a different realm. There's no time there. So you've heard that saying, one day in heaven is like a thousand years here on earth. It's kind of that same principle, I think. I'm going to take a drink. Even children who die suddenly and violently can stay in that realm if they're not receptive to whoever it is that might be trying to release them from that prison, so to speak. A deceased relative, prayers from people on earth, or maybe just doing enough time where the mother and father God would say, okay, enough is enough, and we're going to get them back on their soul's journey. So we have a lot of past lives. Before we're born, I don't know how many I have. I might have around 25, I'm not sure. Because remember, I've said this before, when we're born into this planet, born on this planet, we go through what is known as the veil of forgetfulness or the river of oblivion, where the memories of our past lives are erased. And we have to do that because if we knew in advance that we were going to die at, say, age 65 in a car crash, we wouldn't be able to live our lives in a way that would be productive for our soul's evolution. Do you understand that? That's easy to understand, right? Or if you knew in advance that at age 15 you were going to drown, you know, like you just couldn't concentrate on this life and living it and helping other people and learning, knowing that, can you imagine? I mean, you'd be worrying about it all the way up until it happened. And then that's why we're made to forget when we're born into this world. And we forget our past lives, we forget our access to universal knowledge. You can have every question answered immediately. I'm going to take a drink. And so, my friends, I say to you, develop yourself spiritually and evolve your soul, because tomorrow's not guaranteed for any of us. Use whatever source of knowledge you have right now as a stepping stone, whether it's the Bible or another religion. And with so many different religions, how can we say that one particular one knows the truth and the other one doesn't? Religion is actually a money-making business, am I right? And so, how really interested are they in your soul's evolution? How really interested are they in the truth of who we are? And the truth will set us free, but the truth has been covered up, and the greatest cover-up of all time is that we're not alone in the universe. Roswell started it all. That was the big one, although there were other ones before then. The government covered up the crash of an alien spacecraft and the retrieval of alien bodies from Roswell in 1947, and there is evidence beyond any doubt that it really did happen. And so, assuming that it, therefore, it really did happen and that was the truth, then, my friends, what more evidence do we need? And that's another thing the ETs know. We've already had plenty of evidence. The pyramids I mentioned earlier, that there's life out there. The statues on Easter Island, the Incas. I went to the ruins, the Mayan ruins at Tulum, and they've got a small pyramid there with a flat top with some engravings on the side that suggest that maybe it was a landing pad for a flying saucer. And that was there in the Yucatan Peninsula. And that those are just some examples. They're all over the world. The evidence exists for those who are really interested and serious about learning if they are real. Some people aren't interested. They don't want to learn. They don't care. They're just involved with their life here on Earth, living for freedom and pleasure. And I mean, I don't blame them. I mean, they have a family and they're raising children. They have a job. They're making money. But life is more than that, my friends. I've heard it from so many different people before. Deion Sanders, for example. Now, he was a guy who got famous, became famous, being a baseball star and a football star. And he was looking for something that would satisfy his inner cravings. And so he took all that money that they gave him and he bought different things. He bought a $250,000 Lamborghini. And he drove around that, but still it didn't feel right until he found Jesus. You know, I think there's no more noble pursuit than the study of the life of Jesus here on earth. Because here's a man that performed so many different miracles. Can you name another one? Anyone else who has lived here on this planet ever who performed as many miracles as Jesus did? No. Period. I'm going to take a drink. And it all began when things were going really bad 2,000 years ago. I mean, things were pretty bad during Moses' time, right? They were enslaving the Hebrews and they were being oppressed and tortured and killed and abused. And the extraterrestrials let them out of, the time was right for intervention, and they let them out of Egypt into Israel. Mount Sinai was one place where their spaceships landed. All the thunder and lightning wasn't really. It was ETs, the parting of the Red Sea. Now, one has to think in terms of universal laws and principles. Things can't happen without an explanation and the details behind it. There was no waving of a staff or a magic wand and the Red Sea's parted. No, it was very simply a spacecraft from up above with beam technology. Well, fast forward a few thousand years, things were getting pretty bad too. A lot of killing, warfare, sexual immorality, a lot of abuse and oppression, people weren't going anywhere, and they certainly weren't developing spiritually or evolving as they should have been. So the time was ripe again for divine intervention, and the plan began with the baby Jesus being born in Bethlehem, an extraterrestrial probe rendered luminous, shining a light down from up above about 400 feet above the ground for 70 days. And remember that heavenly bodies are always constantly in motion, and they can't stop and shine a light down at a point on Earth for 70 days if they're moving, right? Logic, my friend, logic. And Mother Mary, how do you think she became pregnant? Some fantasy idea that people have no clue of, don't really give it a lot of thought, you know? How about a more viable explanation, such as, yes, we have been having contact with extraterrestrials over the thousands of years, and they are very advanced, extremely advanced, many thousands of years more advanced than our own society, civilization, and they know how to do things. They knew how to do things back then, 2,000 years ago, because they are technologically and spiritually one of the most advanced in the Milky Way galaxy, and they have been given guardianship over our planet, and that makes sense, right, my friends? And so they used different methods, hypnosis. They hypnotized the Virgin Mary and artificially inseminated her. Unless you have another explanation of how it happened, other than just some fantasy idea with no explanation of the details involving how the seed of the male fertilized the female seed, then you have to accept my explanation as the only really logical explanation. And some people still won't. They close their mind because, like I said, they're conforming with their friends. Even though they're going to die by themselves, they can't walk alone. They're living in fear of ridicule and being ostracized. They don't care about the truth. They're not truth seekers. It should be a stepping stone for a person to get to where they're going rather than being stuck in this box and not being able to think outside the box. It all depends on the evolution of your soul, actually. Someone like myself, I saw through that. I need more details. So Jesus, the baby that was born in Bethlehem, wasn't able, with the knowledge that he had, because he was born into this planet and went through the river of oblivion, and the knowledge of his past lives and universal knowledge was erased from his memory, able to perform the miracles that were necessary to make the people believe throughout the centuries up to this point in time that the legacy of Jesus still lives on because of those miracles that he performed, including the resurrection and the ascension. So, baby Jesus grew to be 12 years old and then walked away with his brother from that area and went to China, Burma. His brother was killed, Yorikiy was killed. He went to Japan, where he lived to a ripe old age of about 90 some years old. He had gotten married and had children. That was the Jesus that was born in Bethlehem. That was part of the plan. But then the extraterrestrials from the planet Thiouba, Thiouba, the guardians of our planet, in their infinite wisdom, decided to say that part of the plan too, about maybe 18 years, 17 years later. I mean, remember how the Bible doesn't have any account of that time between when baby Jesus, 12 years old, leaves that area and goes away, and then there was nothing to capture that 18, 17 year time span. But the extraterrestrials created a human body, just like an avatar, and the spirit of a very evolved, the astral body of a very evolved soul living on Thiouba, a ninth category planet of evolution, was put into that human body, knew what he had to do, was able to speak the language, was in constant communication with the spacecraft up above, and with their help, was able to perform all of those miracles. And please, you have to believe me, there was no fantasy, no explanation kind of thinking as to how they happened in all the details. Or let me rephrase that. People don't think about the details, how he was able to walk on the water, change water to wine, or feed the people on the Sermon on the Mount. There's a perfect example of the technology that the extraterrestrials had up above. They couldn't see their spacecraft 10,000 feet above the ground and kind of hiding behind clouds. How else do you think Jesus turned those fish and bread into all those other fish and bread that was able to feed 5,000 people, along with new baskets that were created? Not a magic wand, waving a magic wand. No, you got to get away from that thinking. As I said, universal laws and universal principles exist in the physical universe, or physical laws and physical principles exist in the physical universe. People just don't give it a lot of thought, but it's time that you knew the truth for those that didn't know of how Jesus performed those miracles, and including the raising of Lazarus. My theory is that, of course, Jesus was trying to impress the people, make them believe in him. And so they needed to see miracles, different types of miracles, whether it was curing lepers or healing the blind or the paralyzed, but also raising the dead. And he waited on Lazarus to die so that he could raise them, right? He waited like 3 or 4 days before he went there. He said to his disciples, "Let's go and wake Lazarus up. He's sleeping." Well, they had buried Lazarus. He had seemed dead to them, but under the cover of darkness, this is my theory, they had slipped in to his room at nighttime, not seen by anyone, and surreptitiously administered some kind of extraterrestrial, very advanced chemical to slow the heart down to a point where it looked like he was dead. They couldn't feel a pulse, but actually he was being kept alive. And so they buried him, thinking that he was dead, but he was still alive. He was kept in that tomb for 4 days. Then they beamed into the tomb and administered kind of like what they call that, another kind of chemical to restore his heartbeat and his life. And of course, this is all timed with Jesus, perfect timing. Jesus knew what would happen, knew he knew what was going on. It was planned that way. And when they rolled the stone away, and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus had already been awake, and he came forth. And of course, that was a tremendous miracle for the people to see, and they were shocked and awed. And but there was a perfectly logical explanation. Again, physical laws and principles apply in the physical universe. Now, there is no such fantasy or unknown thing that people have no clue about to explain what happened. You know what I'm saying? And those are just some examples, my friends. This is an amazing situation that we're part of. We have ETs out there who are looking after us. They know everything that's going on here on Earth. They're watching everything very closely. And like I mentioned, every second, heaven is recording every second of our lives. There's nothing you can do without heaven noticing every second of your life. It's all being recorded. Heavenly computers are so advanced, my friends, you have no idea. No idea just how complex and advanced they are and in heaven. And it's great too. When we get there, it'll be a party. It's going to be so much fun. It's beautiful there. The colors are intense. Everyone's happy and joyful, laughing all the time. It's really just a gigantic party. And we're rubbing elbows with people that have lived throughout the centuries. Every moment here on Earth that have passed over to the other side from all different cultures, everyone's worshiping the creator of the universe, the miracles of all creation. There is no religion, no competition in heaven, no competition between religions. Just enjoying the beauty of where we came from, where our souls and our spirits were born. There's angels everywhere. You remember, once you get there, you're going to remember all the angels. the archangels, the cherubims, the seraphims, the virtues, the dominions, the principalities, it's ordinary angels, they're all there. Your deceased relatives are there. Relatives you never knew you had are there. They know all about you. They can see you from their heavenly monitors up there. They can tune into your life at any time they want. And that's where you're going. Where they went, one day you will be going too. Your spirit's going to pop out of your body and you're going to go and join them. And that's why it's important for us to develop ourselves spiritually as much as possible, because you're making the not only the world a better place, but you're making the universe a better place in accordance with the Creator's plan for growth. Better than growth. I got 1 minute, my friends. So here's a quick prayer. Creator of the universe, we love you. We know you love us. Thank you for the opportunity to live and exist. You are awesome and wonderful. I know you love praise, because praise is like love. Thank you for everything. Please continue to bless us and protect us. Prayer does change things, and man will prey on man until man learns to pray for man. You get that? Prey versus Prey. Please remember that. Don't forget it. I love you. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.